listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our pastor today, Pastor Donald Endrix from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. Pastor Endrix, welcome back to His Time.
Well, thank you, and welcome give me the opportunity to speak to you guys again.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you today, Pastor. Tell us about Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota.
It's really a long history, starting in 1857. Right now we have 585 members, and we have really gotten a lot of new people in the past 27 years since I've been here. Our average age is about 43, and we have a parochial school that involves between 75 and 80 students at our going to school each day. We have a daycare center that is from 6 weeks on up, and we really think we do a fine job of trying to integrate the community and helping them. We have some great teachers. We just added double our special ed person who happens to be one of the individuals going to working with the youth gathering behind the scenes, does a primary job there, as well as her husband, who is also our principal. We have Rosetta Stone, and we're going to be having a rib fest on August 20th. If anybody is coming up here, the quality of the ribs, I think, is as good as what you find down in St. Louis. So,
Well, very good. Glad that you have an active congregation, and the saints are keeping busy with the work they're given there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. We are in Acts chapter 8 today, verses 26 through 40. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this?
Well, as I think of Philip, I think of a parallel between him and Jesus in terms of both Philip and Jesus were on the road and they met someone, and they explained the text of what was going on and how important it is that we may think people understand, but we need to explain things to people because they may not understand all of what God wants them to understand. I also thought it was interesting how God often works in desert places. For example, Philip was in a desert place when he spoke to this Ethiopian, and so it is often that Jesus, when he went out into the wilderness, really had been tested by Satan and was able to understand the importance of trusting in God, and that we need to be doing the same thing.
Well, very good. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40 is what we're studying with Pastor Donald Endrix at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. Let's take a look at the text. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." All right, so an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So not every day an angel talks to somebody.
No, it doesn't. It's very interesting that he starts out with the angel of the Lord. And angels were used in a variety of ways. I checked out that in the New Testament, there were 11 times that an angel of the Lord is mentioned the last time being in Acts 12, where he helps Peter escape prison, and then also he strikes Herod down, and then Herod is eaten by worms because he did not give God glory. So it's interesting how angels can be used by God.
So an angel comes, says, go, arise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. So he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah.
Yes. There are several things that I find interesting that Philip immediately went, not like Jonah, who wanted to go in the opposite direction, but he goes down there. Now, I know that some people may wonder, where was Philip at the time? And Philip was in Samaria, probably at the town of Samaria or in that region, and when he gets this call. And so he may not have gone back to Jerusalem, but may have just gone directly south and met him on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he meets him out in a desert spot. And I think that's interesting that sometimes we don't think we're going to meet anyone there or see anything. It was the angel who sees, who tells Philip, and Philip does, reminds, Philip is told to go to that individual, the eunuch.
So he goes to the eunuch, and the eunuch is reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, go over, join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? It's a good question.
Yes. It's an important question because I think Philip wants to, again, build the bridge. That's one of the things that we saw in the first part of Acts 8, where he tries to build the bridge between the Samaritans and Christianity. And in fact, Philip is credited for building the bridge that had been destroyed after the Babylonian captivity. And I think that's something that we need to remember as Christians, that we need to be trying to build bridges to people instead of trying to put up pole vaults or high jumps and say, you have to jump this high before you can get into the church or get into God's kingdom. I think of what Philip did with Simon the magician and helping him to understand the importance of God and studying his word.
So he asks the eunuch, Philip asks the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand? How can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.
Again, the focus is on Jesus. Isaiah's prediction of Christ being the servant that he was going to be helping us. He was going to be led to the slaughter, that he suffered and died for our sins, that he paid the price for our sins, and explained to Philip in a very positive way. Philip explained to the eunuch in a very positive way how important it was to understand the love that Christ had, because Philip didn't seem to understand that. And it was obvious that if you don't have the background, it's hard to understand some things.
So a sheep, like a sheep led to the slaughter, like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth, and his humiliation, justice was denied him. this scripture that he's reading in Isaiah. This is quite profound.
Yes, yes. It really focuses in on what has happened to us, that we really have been denied justice. And probably the eunuch felt denied justice because he went to Jerusalem to worship God, and probably at that time he found out that he couldn't get in the temple. Why? Because he was a eunuch. That goes back to Deuteronomy, and it's an important fact that we need to realize that sometimes people get denied things, and as Christians we need to be open to people and try and include people in helping them understand God's grace and love. And that's what I think maybe when he got there, he said, well, gee, can I get a Bible at least? And, you know, you know that this guy must have had a lot of money, because scriptures back then were quite expensive. Having a scroll was not one of those things that they could run off the photocopy and get, that they had to be handwritten. And was probably, from my understanding and reading of the commentaries, that it was probably the Septuagint that he was reading from. So Philip was probably a Greek-speaking individual who understood Greek well.
You know, that brings up a good point. You're right that the scriptures were not as accessible at that time, and so to have a copy of the scriptures was really was really quite a privilege. Yet today we have the scriptures so readily available, and look how we regard the scriptures in America alone.
Yes, and that's unfortunate, that I think sometimes familiarity breeds contempt, they say, and sometimes we don't really appreciate what God has given to us, and to take the time to read those words of Scripture and to understand them more fully is so important. And that's why it's wonderful that we have this kind of program, so other people can understand the love that Jesus has for them and can recognize it. I think that opened the door for the eunuch to want to understand what Philip was telling him, just as the two men on Emmaus, the road to Emmaus, were open to listening to what Jesus was saying when he spoke to them.
Anything else up through verse 33, Pastor?
Well, one of the things that I found interesting, because I know there's been a debate whether which Philip was this, and I personally think that this Philip was the individual who had been the evangelist, one of the seven that were chosen in chapter 6. And the reason I say that is because in Acts 8, all the apostles, verse 1, all the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And after it was reported that the Samaritans found the word of God, Philip was the one who then is there teaching them, and the apostles send Peter and John. Now, I would have thought that if one of the apostles, if Philip had been the apostle that we're talking about, I would have thought, well, then he would have, why would they have sent Peter and John? But they sent them because Philip was just an evangelist, not one of the apostles. And I thought it was interesting, too, that Philip goes to this Ethiopian who was a Cushite, and I, well, as I did some studying, that I forgot about the fact that the Cush people were talked about in 2 Samuel, David, as the person that told David about Absalom's death was a Cushite, and there was also in Jeremiah 38 a eunuch that was translated as an official instead of a eunuch. But and Candace was one of the rank 39 in the list of the 50 greatest Africans by Robin Walker. So I thought it was kind of interesting how the quality of what people Philip was talking to was quite high. It wasn't just sort of a run-of-the-mill kind of an individual.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary. Today we're studying with Pastor Donald Andrix of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. We're taking a look at Acts chapter 8 today, verses 26 through 40. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up at verse 34 and following. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
This week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Martin Luther the Professor with Dr. Ken Sherb. We'll talk to Dr. John Kleinig about receptive spirituality, and we'll continue our series Top 3 Verses, talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller about the Lord's Supper.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Did you know that preaching the cross of Jesus Christ does not mean that you tell people that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Then what does it mean? On the next Law and Gospel, I, Tom Baker, will take a look at the seventh Sunday of Pentecost and explain what preaching the cross means.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Listening to His Time, I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union, with Pastor Donald Andrix of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. We're in Acts chapter 8 today, picking up at verse 34. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So here the eunuch said to Philip, in verse 34, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Who is this prophet Isaiah talking about?
And so Philip then explains to him, like it says in the next verse, he opens his mouth and tells the beginning of the scripture, he tells them the good news about Jesus. So he has to explain what preceded this, how man fell into sin. I would think that would be one of the important things, and how we need a Savior, that we can't do it on our own, that God has to come to us and help us through. That he then explains to him what Christ did. I thought it was interesting that we both are sort of out in the cold or in the heat, whatever way you want to look at it, and that God comes to us and helps us understand his love and grace. And so he tells them that good news, that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can have eternal life with him. And I think that was just fantastic what Philip did, and we need to remember that's a lot of people don't understand that basic concept.
So here we have Philip and the eunuch talking about the prophet. The Philip opened his mouth and began, beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus. This is all about Jesus.
Yes. That's one of the things we need to remember, is that our ministry is not about ourselves, but it's about what Jesus does for us. And one of the things that I think we need to remember is how God comes to us and he doesn't distinguish between individuals. I think the eunuch had experienced rejection, like I said, from Deuteronomy 23. And I realized that St. Paul in Galatians 3:28-29 points out that there's no distinction whether we are male or female, that God wants to accept all of us, and he wants all of us, God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that he has showed the eunuch through the suffering servant of Jesus that he was willing to suffer and die for us. One of the things that I noticed that you did not read was verse 37. And some people, if they're studying their scriptures, will look at that and say, why was that omitted? Because if they happen to use the King James Bible or the New King James Bible, 37 is still in there. And one of the things that I just would like to point out is that that verse does not appear until about the 8th century, the manuscripts, and so most of the modern translations have omitted that from there. And it basically says the same thing. There's a footnote in most Bibles that explain what verse 37 really does say, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may, and the eunuch replied, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it's just adding to that important truth.
So as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?
What a wonderful question, because I think one of the experiences I had this past year was I met some visitors out in the front of church after the service had been over, confirmation service was over, and they were just looking for a church home, and I happened to notice that the man had a Harley Davidson shirt on, and I said to him, I says, do you ride cycle? And he said, yeah. I said, well, you know, we're going to be having a motorcycle dedication. And he said, well, that'd be great, and we'll maybe have to come to your church. So they came several times and got interested and then wanted to become members. So I went through our adult information, and after I finished the unit on baptism, he said that same basic question to me. So what would prevent me from being baptized now? And I thought it was just God's power, and I can't help but think of the parallel of what Philip did and what I was able to do for this individual to bring God's power of love and grace and have him baptized at that time. So it does happen in real life as well as what happened back 2,000 years ago.
What a powerful question. What prevents me from being baptized?
And there was absolutely nothing, because that's God coming. And that's one of the things that we need to recognize as well, is that God wants to work in us and he wants to change us. And as I was preparing for this, I was looking at the verses prior to this about working with Simon, the magician, and how Simon had wanted to, had misunderstood God and thought he could buy the spirit. And Philip said, no, you can't buy him. And then Simon repents. And some people have misunderstood, did he really repent or not? But I often think of the important fact that God is the one who does the repenting in us. He turns us around to see God. That's why Luther said in his explanation of the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or even come to him. The Holy Ghost calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the faith. It's always God's work of creating even repentance in our heart, of turning us to see God's love and power. And so what he wanted, Philip was more than happy to provide. He was able to do that.
And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him.
Yes. One of the things that I found interesting was that some people have used that passage to say that we need to have immersion because they went down into the water. But when you look at the Greek word, you find out, like in Mark 3:22, the teachers came down. That same Greek word is used. The teachers came down, or that the rain comes down, or that Jesus came down to Capernaum. In three different spots in the New Testament, that Greek word is used not to imply immersion, but rather just going down into something. So maybe he got his feet wet or got knee deep or that, but that doesn't mean that there was total immersion by Philip or the eunuch, but rather that they did use water and the word of God, and those are the two important essentials. Along with the Holy Spirit, to really become, be baptized and be adopted into God's family.
And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing.
Right. One of the things that that word, that the Lord carried Philip, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away in the NIV version, it says that suddenly he was carried away. And a person asked me about that the other day, and I said, I looked it up and studied it a little bit more, and it's the idea of that he captured him, not in terms of a forceful being tied up or something like that, but that he moved him to go away. And just a reminder to me, at least for pastors, I think, that God is the one who gives us the gift of baptism, and that we should not receive money for wanting to baptize children, but rather we're just God's pipeline. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember the old Lone Ranger days when the Lone Ranger would save someone, and then as they were talking just for a minute, the Lone Ranger would slip away and be totally gone. And I can't help but think of how Philip probably was told by God or moved by God to go away, whether or not this was an actual physical movement of something supernatural, or whether it was just that the eunuch was talking to some of the people who were driving the chariot. I don't know. But we do know that the eunuch was extremely happy and probably was trying to share with them the joy of knowing now Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
But Philip found himself rejoicing. Found himself at Azotus. I was reading through a couple of lines there. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea.
Yes, I thought Azotus was an interesting place where Philip would go to, because Azotus in 1 Samuel 5 was the city where the Ark of the Covenant had been brought to after the Philistines captured it. And they had a god by the name of Dagon that as the ark stood there that night, caused the idol to fall over. And I thought it was interesting that Philip was the individual that went to Azotus now, and it seems like he does some good work there instead, and helping the people, and then he goes from there. This is about 10 or 20 miles, I think it was about 20 miles north of Gaza, where the Ethiopian was going at the time.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn?
The important thing is that God wants to work in us. He wants us to accomplish his will of understanding grace and mercy, and that sometimes we may be on a a deserted road, and sometimes people come to us and encourage us, and sometimes we meet other individuals that we need to encourage. And the important thing is that God gets the credit for what we have done and what he's done, and that we give him the glory for providing Jesus suffering, death, and resurrection and adopting us into God's family.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Donald Andrix of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. Pastor Andrix, thanks for being our guest pastor today, helping us study in Acts chapter 8.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do this. I really enjoyed it.
It was my pleasure. God bless you and all the saints at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hamburg, Minnesota. Coming up in just a little bit, more sacred music to sanctify your morning right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO.